No, it's just a question on MFS for address.
Could you just clarify our relationship with UBS? My name's Stephen Mayne, I'm a small shareholder. Fin Review's got a line this morning saying that UBS is holding a large amount of unsyndicated debt that they want to syndicate. I know UBS is also one of our, in the annual report, is one of our substantial shareholders, just over 5%. I think they've announced last month that they've now ceased to be a substantial shareholder. They've been our advisor on them. Can you just take us through the actual totality of the relationship with UBS? They're our key advisor. How much debt do we actually owe them? What's the status of their shareholding in MFS? And just can you tell us about the relationship, because it sounds like it's pretty important for us.
Stephen, thank you for coming. I think we finally made it when we get you to one of our AGMs, so I feel proud. I think the question had many facets to it, many assumptions to it. I think the proposition is firstly, is UBS a shareholder of MFS? Actually, I don't think UBS on its proprietary account is a shareholder of MFS. I think a range of managed funds which UBS manage for their clients are shareholders of MFS. The last time I looked at the substantial shareholder notice, I didn't see them as an actual shareholder in their own right. We owe UBS about $800 million. On the Stellar debt. The Stellar debt is non-recourse to the rest of MFS. That debt was drawn down in about June 29th of this year, and announcements were made to the ASX at about that time. Other than that, I'm not aware of any money we owe UBS. I think the third limit of your question was, what's our advisory relationship with MFS? With UBS. A couple of things. Firstly, I think it was Macquarie who did our biggest capital raising this year in February. But fair to say UBS is one of our closest advisors, but I wouldn't say they're our biggest advisor by any stretch. And they charged me lots of money for their advisory services.
What are the terms of the loan? Is it a bridging facility at the 800 million? What are they charging us interest? Are we under pressure to refinance? Is that one of the drivers for the negotiations with CBC to offload a stake in Stellar?
I may be wrong in the year, but the Stellar debt is due in either 2012, 2013 or 2014, so it ain't short term. Its interest rate is an old style private equity interest rate debt. Put another way, it's cheap and couldn't be replaced now. UBS, like Macquarie, like lots of underwriters, underwrite things from time to time. And the whole reason, as you well know, underwriters are paid a fee is they're taking risk, and sometimes they get stuck with the risk. In this particular case, UBS has that debt. What they choose to do with that debt, whether they have in fact syndicated it, whether they haven't syndicated it, or how they otherwise manage their affairs, I'm not here to tell you. I don't know.
But say, for instance, at the races on Saturday, do they lean across and say, we really like you to sell, proceed with the sale of Stellar because we have now to syndicate this?
If the thematic of your question is, are we under any pressure from UBS to sell or partially sell Stellar, the answer is absolutely not. And there's a number of reasons, which I'm not going to go into, whilst that's just not the case. As to what we talked about at the races, I wish I'd had some decent tips for us.
And just one on Babcock. So have we got any ongoing relationship with Babcock? I know that they funded part of your and well, the two founders' shareholders. A couple of years ago, we released, I think I read in the press, somewhere $800 million from unwinding some of our investment assets with Babcock. So what's the status of our relationship with Babcock, including any debts to your shareholders?
As far as I know, no significant shareholders, including myself or Phil Adams, have any debts to Babcock & Brown, and what we did a couple of years ago was paid out about a year ago. We still do business deals with Babcocks. I think our relationship's good with Babcocks, and I don't know if they have any shares in us.
Why is it necessary for Phil to leave the board? He's one of our biggest shareholders, founder, running what you said is going to be an important contributor to the future earnings. I would have thought that it would make sense for him to remain on the board. Why did the board feel, or why did Phil feel it was necessary to resign as a director as well as the CEO?
Phil wasn't the CEO, he was the managing director, and I've been the CEO from inception. The UAE and their associates in the UAE had certain relationships structurally and tax-wise with us in Australia, and there's significant benefits in Phil not being, for MFS reasons, a resident of or a controller of MFS. A resident of Australia or a controller of MFS for the benefit of you, Stephen, and others as a shareholder.